just confound it, sorry, this is a little then we see one of the issues that say it's on your phone and then on the street, and we do get our customers to be warm up with the key.
Yeah.
Sisi Radhakrishna Govopina Simakunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai. Sri Vrindavandam Ki Jai. Sri Navadipadama Ki Jai. Gangamayi Ki Jai. Radhamunamayi Ki Jai. Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Tulsi Devi Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai. For glory is your Samadhan. For glory is your Samadhan. For glory is to see Sri Guru and Gauravani Thai Govan Pimunanda Yadivavi. Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthavu Tale Srimadi Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Kramne. Namaste Saraswati Devi Guru Gani Pritzavani Vasay Sasimadhan. Om again to Minandatsya, Janandana Salakaya, Chakshat Smiratan, Vinitansman, Sri Guru Vedana. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam, Tapitam, Hena Bhutale, Sayam, Kapilamayam, the Bhakti Sampadam, Kikam. Vansa Kopatibhyas Cha, Kripasim, the Vayi Vacha, Patitram, Pagani, the Old Pasim, the Holy Woman. We're here in Vrindavan, and in this, we're reaching the you can say that the end of the pastime, but it's actually not the end of the pastime, because after Brahma becomes vimohana, becomes specially bewildered, then he offers prayers. And these prayers of Lord Brahma are the prayers of the most intelligent person within the universe, and therefore they are especially striking. But as far as the Leela part of the pastime is concerned, it is reaching its end. So this is, and this chapter is especially important for Prabhupada's followers, because this is actually the last chapter that Prabhupada dictated of the Bhagavatam. This is the last chapter that he actually completed, the 13th chapter of the 10th canto. So the chapter begins with, it follows the pastime of Agasura, the killing of Agasura, the great sinful Agasura, who was part of a terrible family, who were all servants of Kamsa, Bakasura and Putana. And after Agasura was killed, Krishna and the cowherd boy, his cowherd boyfriends, continued with the picnic they had planned for the day. So in one sense, that's the first part of this chapter of the Bhagavatam, because Agasura was killed in the end of the 12th chapter, and here in the beginning of the 13th chapter, Krishna continues with his picnic with the boys. So we've discussed the wonderful picnic and how Brahma became bewildered by that picnic. So the same, because he saw, how is it possible that my master, the Lord of all, the source of all in existence, the source of all the universes, because Brahma basically or primarily thought of the Supreme Lord in terms of his opulence, which is very healthy to think of the Supreme Lord in terms of his opulence. But that's not all the Supreme Lord is. It's required to think of him in that way, lest we think that that we are the same as him as he performs his nadalila, his human-like pastimes. But Krishna is full of opulences, but he also has his preferences for activities, because he is a person, the Supreme Person. So Brahma became bewildered on seeing these picnic pastimes of Krishna just casually playing with the cowherd boyfriends, and as a result of his bewilderment, he did something that was quite inappropriate. He wanted to test Krishna's power, so to speak. He wanted to poke Krishna and see how he would react to to Brahma's use of his own mystic power. And what was that use of his own mystic power? He stole first the calves, when Krishna went looking for the calves, he stole the cowherd boys. So the second part of this 13th chapter is the stealing of the testing of Krishna by Brahma by stealing the calves and cowherd boys, who were the greatest of souls, the most intimate lovers of Krishna. And Brahma could not understand at that time what a terrible thing he had done, because he had disturbed Krishna's pastimes, his dealings with his friends. In some ways, it's similar to in the third canto of the Bhagavatam, when the four Kumaras go to Vaikuntha, and they want to go see Lord Narayan, and the two gatekeepers, whose names are Jaya and Vijay, they stop them. They stop the four Kumaras, and the four Kumaras curse the gatekeepers that, because they were primarily impersonalist Brahman realized, they saw the qualitylessness of the absolute truth. So they thought, this seeing of duality, this person is qualified to enter and this person is not qualified to enter. This is the material world. This is how everyone in the material world thinks. There's so much duality in the material world. We see this is good for me, this is bad for me. Our whole life is in the sammohan, bewildered by the dualities of good and bad. That's, this is what Krishna explains in the seventh chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This is the cause of the bewilderment of every living entity. So the four Kumaras, looking at it only from that point of view, they said, how is it possible for us to be here and not be qualified to see the Lord? So you're seeing in terms of duality when there is no duality, and you're seeing the way that the people of the material world see when they're only seeing in duality, and therefore we curse you to go to the material world. And the two gatekeepers, if people in Vaikuntha could have heart attacks, they would have had one. They became so terrified. Like, we like it in the material world, but from the point of view of the spiritual world, that's the worst thing that can happen to you, is to have to go to the material world. You have to experience prison pleasures. It's like liking the material world is like you're in prison and you get 15 minutes to exercise in the yard, and you think, oh, this is so great because the sun is shining. But you're in prison. You're in prison. And prison means suffering. It means so restricted. And the soul, on the other hand, wants to be unrestricted. We, the soul, want to be unrestricted, and yet in so many ways we're restricted, primarily by the body, because of our bodily identification. So they thought it was terrible, and they begged him, they begged the four Kumaras, please, we can accept going to the material world, but let us come home soon, let us come back soon. So they got the curse, which turned out to be a benediction in one way, to return very quickly, but they would have to spend three lives being inimical, demonic and inimical to the Lord. And the benefit of being inimical to the Lord is that, and we all have that experience, this experience, I believe, that when you really like someone, you think about them occasionally, but when you're angry at someone, or someone, especially if they've, you know, given you a lot of trouble, and you have some enmity in your heart to them, you can't get them out of your mind at all. They just keep visiting and visiting and visiting and revisiting your mind. So the benefit of the four Kumaras being in Jaya and Vijaya, in the form of Ravana, Kumbhakarna, and Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyaksha, and Dantavakra, and Sisupal. The benefit of them being inimical to the Lord is they're so focused I'm thinking of the Lord, and if somehow or another, this is the prime message of the Bhagavatam, practically speaking, is that somehow or another, or of Krishna consciousness, somehow or another, we should fill our consciousness with thoughts of Krishna in a favorable way, not a demonic way, in a inimical way, but we should somehow or another connect everything we do to service of Krishna. So the point I wanted to make about this was that when the four Kumaras were cursing the gatekeepers and they were in such a difficult position, the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, immediately came to the rescue of the devotees, his devotees, Dayabhidra. And it describes that he came walking on his lotus feet. He didn't take Garuda to get there because he was afraid if he waited for Garuda, who was extremely fast, the four Kumaras would completely finish off the Dayabhidra. So he walked there on his old lotus feet. And then when the four Kumaras saw the Lord, they had such a transformative experience. Their whole consciousness changed. Because they were used to seeing oneness of everything. But when they saw spiritual form, they had a conversion experience. And it was precipitated by the breeze came along. And the breeze captured some of the scent of the Lord's lotus feet mixed with the tulsi that was decorating the Lord's lotus feet. So that breeze captured that scent and went into the nostrils of the four Kumaras. And their minds became agitated. Now their minds were fixed. They are the gurus of all the impersonalists. And their minds cannot be disturbed or unbalanced by anything material. So this shows that there was something spiritually that disturbed them. There is variety in the spiritual realm. There's an incredible description of their conversion experience. It's quite wonderful. They had never seen a transcendental form before. And then, so they just looked at the Lord, and the Lord began to speak to them. And he began apologizing to them. And one of the things they said, the Lord said was, the Master takes on, it is the Master's fault when the servant commits a mistake. The Master takes responsibility. So therefore, this mistake of the gatekeepers that they've committed, it is actually my mistake. These are my people. So therefore, it is my mistake. So therefore, I apologize to you. So he was speaking to them in such a sweet way, but in such a clever way. And they were so intelligent, because when you speak cleverly, you speak somewhat indirectly. So the Lord was speaking to them in such an indirect way that although he was apologizing to them, they weren't sure whether he was chastising them or praising them. Because he said, these are my people, and I take whatever offense that they've committed as my own offense. So they realized that they were just newcomers here. And the four Kumaras were the Lord, this transcendental Lord, considered these gatekeepers his own people, like his own family members. So therefore they thought, because we wanted to see the Lord, we've insulted those who are dear to the Lord. So this is how dear the devotees, the servants of the Lord, are to the Lord. And therefore when Brahma separated by taking away the cowherd boys and the calves, who are all completely devoted to Krishna in his most intimate feature, the Supreme Lord in his most intimate feature in Krishna, it was quite offensive. And plus he wanted to use his power to test the power of the Lord, which was ridiculous, because anyone who has any power in this world, it just is a gift of the Lord. It is a gift of Krishna. And yet, due to the influence of Maya, we so tend to be proud about whatever we have, but it's a gift, and as he's given it, he can take it away in a moment. So Brahma took away the boys and the cares, and he hid them somewhere. And he went away, which was for a moment of his time, and came back in a year, in earth time. And that moment, why he stayed away just a moment, is because he became frightened that I've done something wrong, and even though I'm not sure he's my master, the Supreme Lord, but there's a good chance he is, because I've seen him kill this Agasura. So he went away, and then he got mental. And when you have four heads and get mental, you can imagine how mental you get. That's where he went away and came immediately back. Because we do that sometimes too. We leave where we're going. We get mental. I forgot something, and then I come back. Because also that's considered inauspicious, by the way. But he came back. And that's what we'll read from what happened when he came back. But just before he came back, 5 or 6 days before he came back, which is what we read yesterday, Lord Krishna wanted to let Balaram understand what had happened. I forgot to say something we already know. That how did Krishna deal with this? The Brahman taking the boys and the calves, and this was the next part of the pastime, is that Krishna expanded himself into calves and boys. And each one exactly mimicked all the characteristics of the individual calves and individual boys, so that no one could tell them apart. And Krishna covered this with his internal energy, his pastime energy, so no one could even tell that these weren't the original boys, even though, as we heard yesterday, the cows had the calves that Brahma took away were quite old already, and they had been eating grass already, and the cows had younger calves than them. And when these older calves, who were Krishna at this time, would come home every day, then the cows would neglect the younger calves to give affection to these older calves, even though it's completely unnatural to do that, because affection naturally flows to the youngest, so the mother will naturally take care of the youngest of the children, the baby, because the baby needs more care, so it's hardwired into their operating system to take care of the youngest, and that sometimes can become confusing for the calves that are a little bit older, because you know they were everything for their mother, and suddenly they're only their second in line. So, but the cows were taking, they were licking and giving so much affection, more affection, and giving the milk from the udder to the older calves, because these older calves were actually Krishna, expansions of Krishna. So although everyone in Braj saw that this was going on because of Krishna's internal yogamaya energy, no one thought about it. And no one, even Balaram saw this, like everyone else saw this, and no one considered, wait a second, there's something not usual, there's something quite unusual happening over here. So no one even thought about it. So then, after 5 or 6 days before the end of 1 year, while Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys and the cowherd boys and the calves were expansions of Krishna, as they were grazing at the bottom of Govardhan Hill. The cowherd men and the cows were grazing the cows. The cowherd men were grazing the cows at the top of Govardhan Hill. And when the cows saw their calves, these older calves, they went running down the hill because they were Krishna. They were so attracted to them. They had love for their own calves more than their own calves. They had just like they had love for Krishna. And they went running down, and the cowherd men tried to stop them, and they were just becoming angry and embarrassed because they couldn't stop them, and the calves were going to drink all the milk. But then when they got down, they saw their own boys who were Krishna, and they just embraced them and hugged them, and tears were streaming down their eyes. They became overwhelmed with affection. And Balaram saw this, but he said, "What's going on?" And Krishna, at this time, he was easing up his yogamaya, so that on Balaram even, because one of the purposes of this pastime is to show that no one can pierce through the Krishna's maya and understand Krishna, even Balaram and even Brahma. What to speak of even, but there's appropriate ways to have Krishna lift his curtain of maya, and that's through bhakti. But by one's power, one can't do it. So that's one of the instructions from this pastime. So Krishna, Balaram thought about it, and gradually Krishna removed the influence of his yogamaya energy, and then he said, "This, what's going on? These people are, these calves and boys are actually you. I can tell that now. Tell me why. Why? I thought they were. Why are they you?" So Krishna explained it to Balaram what Lord Brahma had done, and then Balaram understood. So then after 5 or 6 more days, and this is where we're up to now, which was almost exactly 1 year, then Brahma returned. And this is what happens. And there are quite a few purports here. Up to this point, Srila Prabhupada hasn't commented much. When Lord Brahma returned after a moment of time had passed, according to his own measurement, he saw that although by human measurement, a complete year had passed, Lord Krishna, after all that time, was engaged just as before in playing with the boys and calves, who were his expansions, but he couldn't tell they were his expansions. All he saw when he came, he had taken the boys and the calves with his own power, which was supreme in the universe, and he was used to having his own way with everything. And he came back and he saw that the boys and the calves were still there. And Krishna was playing with them as if nothing had happened, as if Brahma hadn't done anything. He couldn't understand what had happened. Purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport. Lord Brahma had gone away for only a moment of his time. But when he returned, a year of human time had passed. On different planets, the calculation of time is different. To give an example, a man-made satellite may orbit the Earth in an hour and 25 minutes, and thus complete one full day. Although a day ordinarily takes 24 hours for those living on Earth. Therefore, and you see this when you fly in a plane, sometimes you have nights for, if you're going along with the sun, you could have a night that lasts really, 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 really long, and sometimes you have a day that lasts really long, or sometimes a night that lasts a short time, depending upon which direction you're going, if you're going counter to the sun's direction. So Prabhupada is making the point that a day can last a short time, a day can last a long time. It's relative to where one is and how one is traveling. So, therefore, what was but a moment for Brahma was 1 year on earth. Krishna continued to expand himself in so many forms for 1 year. But by the arrangement of Yogamaya, no one could understand this but Balaram. And Balaram could understand it because Krishna had removed his influence. And he told Balaram exactly what had happened. So after 1 moment of Brahma's calculation, Brahma came back to see the fun caused by his stealing the boys and calves. But he was also afraid that he was playing with fire. This was, Prabhupada had said this in the Krishna book. Krishna was his master, and he had played mischief for fun by taking away Krishna's calves and boys. He was really anxious, so he did not stay away very long. He came back after a moment of his calculation. When Brahma returned, he saw that all the boys, calves, and cows were playing with Krishna in the same way as when he had come upon them. By Krishna's display of Yogamaya, the same pastimes were going on without any change. So we can imagine how confusing this was, bewildering this was for Lord Brahma. It's like if I take this cup and put it over here, and then I turn back and the cup is still there. I mean, I'd be wondering what was going on. And especially, you know, sometimes it happens, you take your bag and you put it down and you turn away and the bag's gone. Or something like that, but the opposite doesn't usually occur. Mm-hmm. When Brahma returned, he saw all the boys, calves, and cows were playing with Krishna in the same way as when he had come upon them. So he was shocked because the cup was there. Every single one of the boys and every single one of the calves that he had taken, and he knew that he had taken them. When he came back, he just glanced away for a moment, practically speaking, then he looked back, and they were still there. So the same pastimes were going on without any change. Nothing had changed, despite what he had done. On the day when Lord Brahma had first come, Baladev could not go with Krishna and the cowherd boys, for it was his birthday. And his mother had kept him back for the proper ceremonial bath called Santika Snan. Therefore, Lord Baladev was not taken by Brahma at that time. Now, exactly 1 year later, Brahma returned, and because he returned on exactly the same day, Baladev was again kept at home for his birthday. Therefore, although this verse mentions that Brahma saw Krishna and all the cowherd boys, Baladev is not mentioned. So this explains that. Because sometimes we see that in Krishna's Leela's, anytime that Krishna's going to do something that's somewhat dangerous or extreme, like with the day when he went to chastise Kaliya at Kaliyadatta, that Balaram also didn't come because it was his birthday. So one might think that every time that you don't want Balaram there, you insert a birthday there. But actually, there's two kinds of birthdays. One's a solar birthday and one's a lunar birthday, meaning a nakshatra birthday. So the solar birthday comes by the sun's movement once a year, and this is what this one was. But also, there are 28 or so different constellations. In Sanskrit, the word is nakshatra. So when whatever constellation or configuration of stars the moon is in at the time of your birth. So there's so many different names. There's 28 different names for these different constellations. Do you know what your nakshatra is? Do you know what yours is? Do you know what yours is? Do you know what yours is?
Kanumaya.
You knew.
Hasta.
Hasta. Acha. You know what yours is? You know what yours is? What's yours?
Punarvasu.
Huh?
Punarvasu.
Okay. Do you know what yours is? Do you know what yours is? No. Do you know what yours is?
No, I forgot.
Okay. But if you used to have a birthday ceremony every month,
when your nakshatra came up again, then you'd remember. And even though you might remember, your mother would remember, you might forget, but your mother would remember because she was the one organizing it when you were young. So every month they would hold a birth ceremony, a birthday party. But the birthday parties, in this time, they are quite different from the birthday parties nowadays. Because in the birthday party nowadays, the little child especially, everyone comes and gives him gifts, and he has a cake. And somehow there's a cultural fusion. Do we do that in Perth too, when there's a children's birthday party and all the adults get together and they say happy birthday, but then because we have some philosophy, why are we going to celebrate the person's birth? I mean, so they sing, may you never take birth again. It's like a cultural fusion. Confusion, really. And then the child, and then in the West have the thing with the candles. And then the child's supposed to blow out the candles, but none of the devotees will eat the cake because the child's blown all over it. So it becomes quite confusing. Have you had that experience? I won't touch it. So the nuns always go like this, but it loses something. So very different from today's birthday parties is when the child is the center. The child is taught from a very early age in the Vedic times to give. So the center is the giving of charity. So they perform a jagya and they give charity to the Brahmins. So that's how they celebrate. Completely different. And also this comes out with in one pastime that occurred earlier with Krishna. That Mother Yasoda was trying to bring Krishna home from the Yamuna when he was playing with his friends. He had run away. And she said, oh, Krishna, come home, beautiful lotus-eyed Krishna, come. All the other boys are dressed so nicely. She was trying to incite some rivalry in him. And you're covered with dust. And anyway, today is your birthday. And you should, and today, if you come now and we'll dress you nicely, and you can give charity to the Brahmins. And when Krishna heard that he had an opportunity to give charity, because Krishna loved to give charity to the Brahmins, he immediately allowed himself to be caught, or he stopped, and then Mother Yasoda would, when she caught him, until it wasn't his birthday. She had told a fib, just so she could, because she didn't want him to run away, because Krishna was so restless and naughty. But that's how she caught him. But then, in any case, she brought him back even though it wasn't his birthday, and she performed a ceremony and let him give charity to the Brahmins. Otherwise, he wouldn't trust her anymore. These are like the childish pastimes of Krishna, but what's going on in these pastimes that is not stories. It's Leela, and the center of it is the exchange, the loving exchange just between Krishna and his devotees, and the creation of rasa, or ecstasy, ecstatic mellows within the devotees, by these and Krishna too, they're exchanging love. So this is all an exchange of love. When Mother Yasoda does this, and when Krishna's playing with the coward boys, this because they're on the completely spiritual platform, and the varieties that take place there are all spiritual varieties, and the interactions are all exchanges of spiritual love with the Supreme Lord, who is the center of everything, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what Brahma did by taking the boys away was interrupt the exchanges of love between Krishna and his devotees, and that's why it was inappropriate, and that's why it was offensive. He He used his powers to interrupt his Krishna-given powers. He used it to not in Krishna's service. Of course, ultimately, it wasn't Krishna's service. Krishna Yogamaya allowed it to happen. But to interrupt the pleasure of Krishna. And what we're supposed to do, if Krishna has given us anything, power means some kind of shakti, some energy, anything, any ability, is we're not supposed to use that ability to interrupt Krishna's pleasure, but rather, to use whatever we have to enhance Krishna's pleasure. So one has to know what will give pleasure to Krishna, but to use whatever Krishna has given us to bring pleasure to Krishna, that is called bhakti. Because ultimately, in one sense, on one level it doesn't make any sense, because it's Krishna has given it to us. So why would we give it back to Krishna? He already has it. But this is what bhakti is. It's like offering this. When you worship the Ganges, the Ganga, you take some water in the palm of your hands, you offer a prayer, and you offer that same water that came from the Ganga to the Ganga. So that's all we can do. We can offer whatever we have, be it big or small, and ultimately it can only be small. If we offer that one devotion back to Krishna, then Krishna is pleased. So rather than doing that, Brahma had, in a little bit of mischievous way, in a testing way, a poking way, he had interrupted the pleasure of Krishna to see how Krishna would react to this. So it was. Baladev was again kept home for his birthday after 1 year. Therefore, although this verse mentions that Brahma saw Krishna and all the cowherd boys, Baladev is not mentioned. It was 5 or 6 days earlier that Baladev had inquired from Krishna about the extraordinary affection of the cows and the cowherd men. But now, when Brahma returned, Brahma saw all the calves and cowherd boys playing with Krishna as expansions of Krishna. Playing with Krishna's expansions of Krishna. He saw that. But he did not see Baladev. As in the previous year, Baladev did not go to the woods on the first day Lord Brahma appeared there. What did Lord Brahma think when he saw this scene that was so confusing for him? He thought, whatever boys and calves there were in Gokul, I have kept them sleeping on the bed of my mystic powers, and to this very day they have not yet risen again. So I have taken the cup, and I know it's here, but now when I look back, there's the cup. And I know that I took the cup, and it's still where I placed it. So this is the beginning of the cup. Of his vimohana, his great illusion and his confusion, actually, because he's going to get a glimpse from a far distance, as he'll describe, of the power of Krishna. And this glimpse of Krishna's unlimited power, although he's a person and right there, but he's an unlimited person with unlimited power, this glimpse is going to so much overwhelm his great intelligence that it becomes confused. So here's Prabhupada's purport. For 1 year, Lord Brahma kept the calves and boys lying down in a cave by his mystic power. Therefore, when Brahma saw Lord Krishna still playing with all the cows and calves, he began trying to reason about what was happening. What is this, he thought. He began trying to reason about what was happening. Maybe I took those calves and boys away, but now they have been taken from that cave. Is that what had happened? He said, maybe Krishna, after I put them there and I went away for my 1 moment, or yeah, maybe Krishna just came and took them back. Then, however, Lord Brahma saw that the calves and boars he had taken were still in the same mystic maya which had put them in. So we took this and put it here, and then we looked there and saw it was there again. And after I came back, then I said, well, maybe it's not where I had placed it before. Then I look over here and I see it's still here. And then I look back here and it's still there. Because then you start thinking, well, maybe it was, as soon as I look over here, it's come over here, and but it's not over there anymore. So he began to try to figure out some way to understand it with his own powerful reasoning ability. And he couldn't. Then, however, Lord Brahma saw that the calves and boars he had taken were still in the same mystic maya which he had put them. Thus he concluded that the calves and boars now playing with Krishna were different from the ones in the cave. So there's a cup here, there's a cup there. This must be two cups. But then the question is, well, if there was one cup over here and I took him and put it over here, and there's still one over here now, which one's the real one? So the more he thought and the deeper he got, the more confused he got, which is basically what happens to the scientists when they try to understand things. They come up, you know, with conclusions like they won't accept there's a God, but instead they'll because that's inconceivable, that there could be a God and not provable, but instead there's a black hole where everything goes into. Where everything is compressed, all of reality is compressed into a singularity, just one point, and it goes into a black hole, and then no one knows what happens when it goes into the black hole, because there's no time, there's no space, there's no anything, because time and space haven't been. I mean, it's just as hard to understand as it is to understand that there's a Supreme Personality of Godhead who has inconceivable power. So the more one tries to entangle the illusion, to pierce to one's intelligence, the more that one tries to pierce the illusion of what reality is, well, through illusion to find out what reality is, the more confused one actually gets. And the more comes up with contradictory conclusions. Thus he concluded that the calves and cowherd boys who were playing with Krishna were different from the ones in the cave. He could understand that although the original calves and boys were still in the cave where he had put them, Krishna had expanded himself, and so the present demonstration of calves and boys consisted of expansions of Krishna. So that's what his conclusion was. This is what it was, but he didn't. They had the same feature, the same mentality, and the same intentions, but they were all Krishna. 42. A similar, text 42. A similar, so Brahma looked and saw they weren't there. They were still playing. A similar number of boys and calves have been playing with Krishna for one whole year. Yet, they are different from the ones illusioned by my mystic potency. Who are they? Where did they come from? He asked. Thus Lord Brahma, thinking and thinking for a long time, tried to distinguish between these two sets of boys, who were each separately existing. He tried to understand who was real and who was not real, but he couldn't understand at all. So we'll go back and read some of Prabhupada's purports on this, but we'll read the verses. Thus, because Lord Brahma wanted to mystify the all-pervading Lord Krishna, who can never be mystified, he wanted to use his powers to cover over Krishna's understanding of what's happened. But the result was that his understanding of what had happened, what was happening, became covered over. So, because Lord Brahma wanted to mystify the all-pervading Lord Krishna, who can never be mystified, but who on the contrary mystifies the entire universe, he himself was put into bewilderment by his own mystic power. So read the two purports before this, before reading that last purport. Although appearing like calves, cows, and cowherd boys, these were all Vishnu. Actually, They were Vishnu Tattva, not Jiva Tattva. They were not individual souls. They were actually the Lord. Brahma was surprised. The original cowherd boys and cows, he thought, are still where I put them last year. So who is it that is now keeping company with Krishna exactly as before? So where have they come from? Who is it? Where did they come from? Brahma was surprised that his mystic power had been neglected. Neglected means cast off as insignificant, as nothing, as meaningless. Because the same situation that existed before he used his powers existed now after he had used his powers. Without touching the original cows and cowherd boys kept by Brahma, Krishna had created another assembly of calves and boys who were all expansions of Vishnu Tattva. Thus Brahma's mystic powers were superseded. And the second purport. Brahma was puzzled. The original boys and calves are still sleeping as I've kept them, he thought, but another set is here playing with Krishna. How has this happened? Brahma could not grasp what was happening. Which boys were real, which were not real? Brahma was unable to come to any definite conclusion. He pondered the matter for a long while. How can there be two sets of calves and boys at the same time? Have the boys and calves here been created by Krishna? Or has Krishna created the ones lying asleep? Or are both merely creations of Krishna? Brahma thought about the subject in many different ways. After I go to the cave and see that the boys and calves are still there, does Krishna go, take them away and put them here so I can come here and see them? And does Krishna then take them from here and put them there? Does he keep bringing them back and forth so every time I go I see calves and boys and there's actually only one set? Brahma could not figure out how there could be two sets of calves, because they're exact duplicates. Two sets of calves and cowherd boys, exactly alike. Although thinking and thinking, he could not understand it at all. And that's because Lord Brahma wanted to mystify the all-pervading Lord Krishna, who can never be mystified, but who on the contrary mystifies the whole universe. He himself was put into bewilderment by his own mystic power. So there is a lesson to be learned for all of us, and that is that everyone in this world is mystified or covered over by the illusions of Krishna's, created by the illusory energy. And we cannot pierce that. No matter whatever abilities we have, we cannot pierce it by our own power. So therefore, we should be very humble. So we'll read a little, actually we won't read the purport, we'll continue with that on Saturday because it's quite a long purport. Thank you. Any questions or comments? But you understand what happened, yes? Because we read the purports. So we can understand what Brahma could not understand. Yes?
You were saying there was a third
death? Oh, but that comes out. But
they were playing.
They were just playing with Krishna. The original ones. It comes from the commentaries of Vishwanath. It's not mentioned here. They were just playing and looking, but it was just Krishna and the original cowherd boys, because the point being that Brahma didn't have the power to take the cowherd boys. But Jiva Goswami says that by Krishna's arrangement he had the power. But there's another verse that says later that, in another commentary too, where it says that they were when Brahma came, he saw that Krishna was... the cowards and cowherd boys were just as they were before. So it appears from by the commentaries of Vishwanath that there were three different sets, which is even more bewildering. There was a Maya set, yeah?
They didn't appear slightly older. It's like kids when they're playing, they're between 5 and 6 years old. It can be a significant difference in their perceptions and behaviors.
So what were you asking?
So you say that there was no difference between the set that were sleeping and the set that were active in their appearance and behavior.
Yes.
But in the meantime, the active set, been
playing
for a year with Krishna and doing everything with their parents and families and presumably growing up.
Presumably.
Yes.
Presumably growing up. But remember, in the spiritual world, time does not work in exactly the same way that it works here. Mm-hmm. Because here, time is inevitable and unstoppable. And time can expand and contract according to what will give Krishna pleasure. So it even there's actually a commentary by Vishwanath said that, you know, when the boys were five, they had actually lost a year. They didn't attain the Poganda age on time, so to speak. Or so soon as they did, they grew up very fast or something like that. Because time is, yeah, it works differently. Because time, like everything else in the spiritual realm, serves Krishna's pleasure. And here, time, it destroys everyone's pleasure by whatever it is, whether you like it or don't like it. The things that you like, it changes. And the things that you don't like, it also changes. And it crushes. The whole thing, every situation, it crushes. It serves no one's pleasure. Yeah, that's the best I can answer. So the question was sort of, did the boys developmentally mature during the ages of 5 to 6? And was that reflected in the sleeping boys? You can do you. Huh?
Would it be visible in the playing voice?
Yes, I know that, but then that would make a difference with the sleeping voice. So it would reflect into the sleeping voice.
If we go and see some friends' kids after we haven't seen them for a year, we go, oh, you've grown so much, or always, you know, that's always the perception.
Yeah, before you were just playing with toys and now you're stealing your father's car. How does this happen in 1 year? You ride around on a motorcycle, or at least in a video game. You're doing what Krishna can do is he likes. Oh, this is actually all Yogamaya is doing. So whatever what Yogamaya does, what Krishna's internal energy does, is it just smooths all the dealings so that they work perfectly for Krishna's pleasure. So Krishna and the devotee's pleasure. Actually, in one sense, more the devotee's pleasure than Krishna's, because the ruler in the spiritual world is not Krishna, and it's not exactly Yogamaya. It's prema bhakti. It's the love for Krishna. So what's going to facilitate the devotee's love for Krishna, which is gives Krishna pleasure, so there's no difference. That's how Yogamaya will arrange things. Any other deep philosophical or psychological? It'll be an interesting survey to do in the spiritual world. You know, we can get some psychology students. You can bring them from the university. And they could do one of their experiments. Any other questions? Well, thank you for listening carefully.
Okay, it's 8 o'clock. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Ramam Mohanalinda ki.